Yes.
Amen. We'd open our Bibles this morning to Hebrews chapter 1. We're going to take our text from Hebrews chapter 1. And this morning will be 152 in the unveiling of God. And the subtitle is His Word, His Purpose, His Plan, Identified. God, who at sundry times, that means in different times and in diverse manners, spake in times past unto the prophets, or unto the fathers, by or through the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us, and Brother Bale always taught that it should be in Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory, and the expressed image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, he sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, Thou art my son, this day I have begotten thee. And again I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. Again, when he bringeth in the firstborn into the world, he saith, And let all the angels of God worship him. And of the angels, he saith, who maketh his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire. But according to the Son saith, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. And then God says back to his Son, Thou hast loved righteousness, or right wiseness, right understanding, and hated iniquity. Therefore, God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we reverently approach thy word this morning, knowing, O God, that your purpose and your plan is the only thing that we should be desiring in our life. You know, we have books that say the purpose-driven life, but it talks about your own purpose, not his purpose. And we know that your son Jesus, he was our example. He was the example seed, as Brother Branham said, the pattern for every son that is filled with your spirit. And we know that he said, Father, I know that your purpose, your plan, he said, I have a purpose and plan, but I don't want to really go through this. But nevertheless, not my purpose or plan, but your purpose, your plan, your will be done. So, Father, Jesus learned to step aside, actually strip aside his vessel, and allow the God life, the word life that lived in him, to have the preeminence. May we also, as your bride, come to that place, Father, where we learn to strip aside our own self and yield to your purpose and your plan for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Now, this cough is not COVID. It's allergies. This is Ohio. This is Collinville. Now, this morning we will continue in our study from Brother Bram's sermon, The Unveiling of God. And we're going to pick up at paragraph 139 and begin our reading. All right, Brother Bram says in paragraph 139, when the Word was in Moses, he was God in flesh. Now, I want you to just stop a minute, because most people are going to read that, what he said, and say Moses was God in flesh. And they say, Brother Bram, you don't know anything. He didn't say that. He said, when the Word was in Moses, he was God in flesh. Amen. Why? Because God is the Word. Amen. Now, before I read one more thought, I just want you to know that William Branham is very well aware that God is not flesh and blood. But as Jesus said, God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. We must also understand that God is the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, because the Word was God. So first of all, we must understand that God is spirit, and he is not flesh and blood. Secondly, we must understand that God is the Word. He is his own Word. You see, the Bible tells us, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And so God, as he was called in the Ten Commandments movies by Moses, the eternal mind is the Word which came forth from who he is intrinsically. Because you cannot separate a man from his mind, and out of the abundance of that mind, he speaks words. So God himself cannot be separated from his own word. That's who he is. Now let's begin to read again with the understanding in mind paragraph 139, when the Word was in Moses, notice when the Word was in Moses, he was God in flesh. Why? Because he was the Word of God manifested for that age. Now let's just read some more. When it, speaking of the Word, was in Jesus, it, the Word, was God in flesh. See, only thing he'd done was change his mask, not his Word, not his nature. So the Word didn't change. The flesh did, the body did, the vessel did. You see, the nature of the Word did not change when it went from one veil to another, one vessel to another. It, the Spirit, the life, the nature, the Word, remains the same yesterday, today, and forever. In Malachi 3 and 6, we read, God says, I am God and I change not. And Brother Brown continues quoting Hebrews 13 and 8. He says, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He only changed his form. He, God, he, the Spirit, he, the Word, changed from Noah to Moses. Not changing his Word, nor changing his nature or his life, but changing his veil, his vessel, to manifest from. Now notice, he continues, he changed from Moses to David, from David to Joseph, Joseph on down till he come into the fullness of the Godhead bodily. See, he is still the same God, the same nature, the same life, and the same Word. Amen, amen. I hope that gets through. See, it, God, who is the Spirit, who is the Word, is the same God. But he, God, who is the Spirit, who is the Word, just takes another veil. See, he, God, who is the Spirit, who is the Word, puts on another veil. Amen. So it's the same Word all the way through. The same Spirit, because my words are Spirit, and they're like all the way through. It's God. Mm-hmm. Just changing vessels. All right. So what we're looking at when we're speaking of the unveiling of God is this. No matter who the veil may be that God chooses to use, whether that veil be in that he uses is Moses, or whether that veil that he chose to use was David, or whether that veil he chose to use was Joseph, or whether that veil he chose to use was Elijah or Elisha, or whether that veil he chose to use was Jesus Christ, his firstborn son, it is still the same God who is the same Spirit, who is the same Word that comes into that vessel in order to manifest his same God life, his same Word life within that veil, as different as that veil can be from other than the other veils he uses. In other words, if you would look at a man like Brother Branham, and very soft and very gentle and very humble and very meek, and you look at a man like Brother Vail and very rough and tough and terse, or let's compare Brother Branham with the Apostle Paul. You know, Brother Branham called him a hook-nosed Jew, hot-tempered, you know. Brother Branham was more mild than everything else. And you say, oh, this is God, this is not. No, you're lost. It's all God, because it's just a different vessel. It's the same Word. William Branham preached the same Word that Paul preached.
Amen.
He preached the same God that Paul preached. It was the same God preaching through both men. You see? So don't get yourself all messed up with the man's mannerisms. Because I tell you what, you're going to not hear what God is telling you. It was God is trying to get across. You look at the best sale. Oh, I don't believe him. You better watch out. God has something for you. It could come from a complete stranger. It doesn't matter who it comes from. He spoke to one misguided prophet through the lips of a donkey. But that was God speaking. Wasn't the donkey speaking? All right. Change veils. Now notice paragraph 140. He, which is God, who is the Spirit, who is the Word, did it in the Reformer. Okay, now he's already talking about God and the prophets. Now he's talking about God in the Reformers, not prophets. Reformers, not prophets. Reformers. All right? Taken on a veil. The same took on seven veils through the seven church ages, using the veil of each man to manifest his Word through. He says, until finally it come down through the Lutheran age, down through the other age, then finally it come out in the complete. Well, what's the complete? He's talking about this hour. He's talking about the bride of Christ, the complete body of Christ. Just before it comes, a prophet arises again. When it does, it foreshadows the Word. Showing back there, revealing what's been done, what's been left off, that the church would not be without understanding. Then when this fades out, He's talking about himself here, the veil of his own flesh that God is using in the prophetic office. When his veil goes off the scene, when it fades out, it says, then when this fades out, Brother Branham talking about himself, when he's gone, the veil that housing God to the people is gone. Listen, then like John, I must decrease, he must increase. You see, the same thing, the Alpha repeats in Omega. Then all in all comes into him. Listen, when Jesus, the fullness of the Godhead body, was in the midst, it was God in a vessel, right? But it wasn't in the apostles. But when Jesus died, that spirit that was in him came back on the apostles. When William Branham is off the scene, the same God is using his elect. The same God is here. He showed us many times, but he showed us specifically when the pillar of fire appeared over those meetings in the form of three rainbows, that he's still here. The pillar of fire is still leading. Mm-hmm. All right? Now, all in all comes into him. That's the entire body of Christ that's living in this hour. He's fully manifested through Luther, Wesley, Pentecost age, and on down. He's fully manifested. You see, come down, just a manifestation, God unfolding. See? Now notice how Brother Brown says that the word, the same God life, the same Son of God life, it keeps coming on down from prophet to reformer to the elect people of the last days until God is all and in all. Jesus said, at that day you shall know that I am in the Father in me, and ye in me, and I in you. John 14:20. Now, just before Jesus says this in John 14:20, he says in John 14:12, what? That you're going to do the same things that the believer, the true believer, the one filled with the same Spirit is going to do the same things. Then he says, and at that day, when John 14:12 happens, and at that day, you shall know that I am in the Father. Father me. I am. Hallelujah. Now, I want you to notice the date of this sermon, the unveiling of God, was preached on June 14th, 1964, because around 2 weeks later, Brother Brown preached the masterpiece on July 5th, 1964. And the masterpiece sermon is not only about how God took 4,000 years to build himself a masterpiece in his Son, Jesus Christ. But Brother Branham continues on, and he lets us know that this sermon is about God building himself another masterpiece, like the first one, which will be the elect of this hour. He says, after 2,000 years. Let's just read it. From the unveiling of God, from the masterpiece, Brother Branham says, as it taken him 4,000 years to make this masterpiece, he's talking about Jesus there, now he's been for nearly 2,000 years making another masterpiece, a bride for Christ, another masterpiece. In so doing it, he does it by his never-changing method, the same way he made the masterpiece, his word. That's the way that he makes his masterpiece, because it can only be a perfect masterpiece when it's a perfect word. Any dirt, trash, injections, it'll break. But the heavens and earth will pass away, but the word will never break. Now, don't tell me that he preached over here in this field about the unveiling of God, and then over in this field, he's preaching about the masterpiece, about the body of Christ, about the bride of Christ. No, it's the same thought. His mind was now in a channel. And the channel was God unfolding himself, and now he sees a greater picture. It's not just God in the prophets and God in the reformers and God in the church, but now it's God in the individuals that make up the body of Christ. And it's the same word. And it's the same life. And it's the same God life. That's in both. Now, let's move on and keep reading. For paragraph 141. Now notice, fulfilled in his promises for this day, as they have. Fulfilled in his promises for this day, as they have. Now Moses was the word for that day, because the word was given to him for that day. Joseph was the word in his days, portraying Christ exactly. See? Each one of them was the word. And when Jesus came, he was the word in its fullness, because the whole plan of redemption laid in him. The whole plan of redemption didn't lay in Moses, didn't lay in Joseph, didn't lay in Elijah. See? They were only part of that word, pointing to it. See? Now notice, keeping your thought here, it comes, as I say, see, the whole plan wasn't in them, they were pointing to it. Therefore, after him, the fullness, the pattern, the example seat, we cannot point to something else, it points back to him, the Word. This is the complete revelation, nothing can be added or taken from it. There's a complete revelation. All that, a shadow of him to come, but when he come, he was the perfect, Hebrews 1, God in sundry times spoke to the fathers through the prophets, God spoke through veils, the prophets, see, veils, the prophets, but in the last days, through his Son, Jesus Christ, there you are, unveiled out there on Calvary, the Son of God unveiled. Notice, made alive, and today when the Word is manifested in human vessels, there's an S on the end, plural, veils, he says, that's plural. It's absolutely the Word fulfilled in that day, which comes back to God, being baptized into him, according to 1 Corinthians 12, we become identified with him. Now, what's 1 Corinthians 12? It's by one Spirit, we are all baptized into one body. One Spirit, one body, we. One Spirit, we, plural. One Spirit, singular, we, plural, are baptized into one body, singular. All right. Now, this word identified that he uses here is actually means to be or become the same as. He says, we become identified with him. Paul says we must grow up into Christ. The word identified that Brother Graham uses means to be or become the same as. To make, to represent, to be, or regard, or treat as the same or identical to. That's why when I make the statement that I doubt that there are 10% of message believers who are truly Christians, I'm not making a slur, I'm not trying to be hard-hearted, I'm not trying to be evil-minded. I'm making a statement, and I'm telling you, you better look at your own life. You better look at your own purpose and your plan for your life. You better be looking at the way you treat your husbands and the way you treat your wives. Because Christian means Christ-like. Wives, be subject to your husband in all things. That's what the Word says. In all things. Not the things you think is fit to be subject to. In all things. Husbands, love your wives. Doesn't say be subject to them. Love your wives even as, or in the same way, Christ loved the church. To the place of being able to be willing to give your life for her. All right? But Christian means Christ-like. It doesn't mean you have, well, you know, I'm Christ-like 99% of the time. I can go out and smoke once in a while. I can go out and fornicate once in a while. I can go out to the bars. I can go out and do this. I can pull deals on brothers. That's not Christian. Christian doesn't mean 99% of the time. It means 100% you are a Christian. You are Christ-centered. Now, it doesn't mean you might make some mistakes with your mouth. You might say some things too hard. Not that those things are wrong, but maybe they're a little bit too hard for the situation, for the person you're talking to. But Jesus did the same thing. He went in the temple and took braids and he whipped them out. He was angry. The Bible says it's all right to be angry. It says just don't let the sun go down upon your wrath. And it says be angry but sin not. In other words, in your anger, don't disbelieve. All right. Now, this word identified, as I mentioned, that he uses, it actually means to become the same. Brother Brown continues. I said a half hour, but I can't. Anyway, he's just kind of talking to somebody about the time, and so let's just go to 1:45. Now, notice how many American citizens are here. Raise up your hand. All right, you are an American citizen. Then you are identified with this nation. Right. This is what I'm saying. Whatever this nation is, you must be. Is that right? You're all of her glory and you're all of her shame. You're identified with her. You are an American. So you take on America.
Hallelujah. I was with George Washington when he crossed the Delaware. I'm identified with him. That's right. I was with Abraham Lincoln at Gettysburg Address. I was standing there. I was with the soldiers on Guam. You boys, when you hosted that flag, I was there. I'm an American. I'm identified with it. Amen. Now, to be an American, whatever her shame is in the Revolutionary, I bear it because I'm an American. That's right. And as a Christian, I'm identified with him. See, American with a nation. As a Christian with, not a nation, with him. Amen. I was with Noah when he went in the ark. I was with Moses when he come out of Egypt. Amen. I was with Elijah on Mount Carmel. Yes, sir. Glory to God. I was with him when he did that. I was truly with him. I identified myself in his death there on Calvary when I died to the things of the world, to myself and all traditions. I was identified with him. I was identified with him on Easter morning when he rose from the dead. I was identified with him. On the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Ghost came down like a rushing mighty wind, I was identified with him. All that he was, I am. All that I am, he was. Amen. Being dead in him, we are identified with him. What he is, I am. Amen. Now, Brother Graham's going back and forth between a nation. He says, you know, you can't say I'm identified with America if you're not American. Because identified means the same. You are the same. You become the same thing. You can't say I'm a Christian and not be Christ-like and have Christ-life that makes you Christ-like. What this nation is, I am. I'm proud to be that. I'm ready to bear her shame. I'm ready to bear a reproach to the American. That's right. But I'm double that to Jesus Christ. All that he ever was, I am. All right? He was Savior. I'm Savior. He was a healer. I'm a healer. He was a teacher. I'm a teacher. He was a pastor. I'm a pastor. You see what he's saying? You've taken on his role for this hour. I like to be identified with him. Them apostles, when they come back, they thought they would make fun of and call everything else. They thought it was a great honor to bear the reproach of his name. I'm happy today to be one of them. Being identified with the Word, which is Christ. Identified with him. Being baptized into him. We become identified in his likeness, identified with his word, which is him. If I am in Christ, I am his word, for he is the word, and what he is, I am. Amen. You get it? All right. I don't think a lot of people got that. What is the word? It's his thoughts expressed. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. That's why Brother Branham, when God placed that sword in his hand, and after that time, he told Brother Vail, all my thoughts are God. He was so identified, he became Christ. Not the man, the Word, the Spirit, the Life. Now, Brother Branham, in the sermon, Spiritual Amnesia, he said, you can't forget it and be a Christian. You must be identified with it. You must be identified with St. John, the 14th chapter, the 12th verse. He that believeth in me, the works that I do, shall he do also. Don't forget it. If you do, then you've got spiritual amnesia. You've forgotten who you are. You've forgotten what your testimony means. Now, I said you must be identified with it, or you have spiritual amnesia. Now, the word identified means, again, to cause to be. To become identical. To conceive as united in spirit, outlook, or principle. To be or become the same. If you're not identified with John 14:12, it's because John 14:12 is not identified in you. In other words, the Word of God is not in you. The Holy Spirit's not in you. Because the Holy Spirit is in you, you will do what the Holy Spirit says do. All right. That's why last week I'm talking about the purpose and the plan of God is the will of God. Now, if you got your own purpose, you got your own plan, and you don't, then you said my plan, my purpose is greater than God's purpose, so therefore I have no need of God, and you minimize that relationship. What we're looking at in this hour is a bride has got to become him. She has got to be so much, not just similar, identical, that when he goes, we go with him because we can't help it. You're his other half. Again, let me read from God identifying himself. Brother Branham said, the pouring out of the Holy Ghost in the last days upon the common people has identified God's characteristics with the people. He promised it. It's the word. He said he'd do it. Nobody can take it back. He said he would do it. So all these things that he's promised, that's what he does. It identifies his characteristics. Yes, sir. Don't believe it. Don't believe my claim. If my characteristic isn't that of God. Notice John 14:12. He that believes on me, he said, has my identification, my characteristic. He that believes on me, the works that I do shall he do also. That identifies that the character of Christ is in him. Well, let me just, got some news for you. If the character of Christ isn't in you, you won't be doing John 14:12, because that's just what he said. And if you don't have the character of Christ, you don't have the nature of Christ, which you don't have the spirit of Christ, the life of Christ. Therefore, you're none of his. It gets down to one thing, brother, sister. You better be asking God every day, what would you have your servant to do? Because the works that you did, you told me I will do, even more so. I'm going to read this again. Now notice in John 14:12, he that believeth on me, he said, has my identification. Remember, identification means to be the same thing. My characteristic. He that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. That identifies that the character of Christ is in him, displaying the characteristics of him. Amen. See, there's no mistake about it. His life. He that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. See, that identifies the characteristics. The same thing he said. If my character doesn't identify myself, God in him, then he don't believe him. Now, he also said that he would be identified in that. Then, that if it doesn't identify him, then he isn't what he says he is. Now, if a person says, I'm a Christian, and doesn't live like a Christian, talk like a Christian, act like a Christian, he's not a Christian. He's a liar. He's a liar. And today, if Christ doesn't identify himself, the characteristics of Christ identify us as being of Christ, believing the Word. Jesus was the Word, so he had to believe the Word. And how can we say that we are of Christ and deny any word in that Bible? The Holy Spirit of Christ is God in you. And it'll punctuate every promise with an amen. The Bible says, these signs shall follow them that believe. The Spirit of God says, amen. See, one of them said, oh no, that was for another age. That was for the disciples only. That was for the prophet only. Going into all the world to preach the gospel to every creature. He, everywhere. All the world. He that believeth, these signs shall follow him. Same thing, same yesterday, today, and forever. The characteristics being identified. That makes Hebrews 1:1. God at sundry time, speaking of to the Father by the prophets, identifying Christ resurrected today by the same characteristics that he did at sundry time. What's he talking about? We have got to becoming so much in the image of the firstborn son that people will look at not just your life, but they will look at the things God is doing in your life, and they will look past your vessels to see God, like they did with William Brown. Others will focus on your vessel and say, that can't be God, like they did with Jesus. And I think some people in this hour that have trouble with a man called by God to deliver the word, and they get offended because it might not be in their particular fashion of doing it. And Brother Abbott sent me an article today that was interesting. There was a research study done, and 98% of the churches do not even preach end time events. 98% of all Christian churches don't even mention, don't preach about the soon coming of the Lord Jesus. Now they said, and the research went on, well, 70% say, well, they'll see it in their day, but they're not preaching it.
Now, if they're not preaching it, why aren't they preaching it? Because they don't believe it. Why are they not preaching it? Because they think other things are more important. Like some of them believe, well, we've got to be evangelizing the world and get the whole world to convert, and then Jesus will come. That's hogwash. Didn't happen the first coming, won't happen the second coming. You see, they're not thinking the thoughts of God. They're not thinking the mind of God. They're thinking their own denominational, well, you know, if I can get more people, more people, more people. Listen, what do you want a bunch of people for? Like Brother Bell said to me when I was a young pastor. He said, what do you want a lot of sheep for? He said, don't you know what the Bible says, where there is no oxen, the crib is clean? If you're going to be called to the ministry, then Paul is your pattern for ministry. That's what it says in the church age book. Paul had 12 people that he preached to. Didn't make a difference if he had 12 or 200 or 500. Doesn't make a difference to me. I preached before thousands of people, 6,500 people at one time. And I preached as few as 12 or 13 on a Wednesday night. Doesn't make any difference. It's the same word, the same God life, the same God seed life. He says, God, Hebrews 1:1. God of sundry times speaking to the fathers by the prophets, identifying Christ resurrected today by the same characteristic that he did in sundry times. From identified Christ of all ages, he says God's characteristic identified him. Do you believe he's here? How many believe? Lay your hand on one another then. Put your hands over on one another. Put your hands on each other. Our Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, may the devil leave this audience and may he be cast out into outer darkness. So how many people do you think laid their hands on their neighbor, believing that God would do the same things to them that he's doing through William Branham? You have the same right. These signs shall follow them that believe. You believe? You have the same power of God in you. Because it's not about you, it's about him. It's not about you, it's about the word. The same word in you is the same word that was in him. Same life that was in him, same life that's in you. From God identifying himself, said, but always the appearing according to the promise worthy age, all this unusualness. Now, there's some people might go around and say, well, this is unusual, that's God. This is unusual. But you see, it has to be identified by the Word, and the Word is God. See? And then the characteristics of this identification identifies who it is, because God said this would happen, and it happens. See, the characteristic of it is God's word being identified by the characteristics of what's going on. He said in the last days he'd pour out the Holy Ghost. He did it. The characteristic of it identified that it was God, his promise. See, it always identifies itself. Now, it always, every time, corrects the word when the word is said wrong. Did you ever notice? It was in the days of Noah that corrected that scientific age, that God was going to bring water down out of heaven. It was Moses, see, that corrected when they was all settled down in Egypt and so forth. But God's word had to come to be identified. What's identified mean? To be the same. And the truth of the word corrects the error. Notice that the appearing according to the promised word for the age. Now, Brother Branham is talking about the word becoming identified, which means to be the same. Now, What is he talking about? Okay. We've been preaching on this word. Anybody can open this word up and read it. But only the elect can see when it's actually manifested out here. This out here is identified or identical to this in here. You can see it, they can't. If you got the Holy Ghost. All right. He said the truth of the word corrects the error. Remember, he promised. If you be any otherwise minded, he's going to reveal it to you. Who revealed it to you? Not your conscience, the Holy Ghost. All right. Then he said, it has to be identified by the word, and the word is God. See? And then the characteristic of this identification identifies who it is, because God said this would happen. Now, I'm going to take this thought just once. It has to be identified by the Word, and the Word is God.
How many times have you seen something take place and a scripture come to your mind? Anybody? All right. All the time. What does that mean? That you've got a library of knowledge?
No. That you got the Holy Ghost. Same word, same life. You understand? Because He is the Word.
If you be any otherwise minded, He, the Word, will reveal it to you. How does He reveal it to you? Through the Word. You understand what I'm teaching you this morning? This is how we are becoming conformed to the image. It's because we're past our own thinking. And it's just His thinking. So then, what we should be looking for, what is the promise of God for the age? That's what we should be looking for. And how will it be identified by its characteristics? From God is identified by His characteristics, Brother Bram said, another thing, the prophet Balaam was fundamental. But the prophet Moses was identified by the characteristics of God. Okay, now, what's he saying here? On one hand, you have a prophet who is a fundamentalist. How many of you have been amongst the fundamentalists? You know, the Baptists and those people. Fundamentally, mechanically, doctrinally, they've got things lined up pretty good with Scripture. But Moses was identified. What does that mean? Identical with the characteristics of God. They have mechanics. And he had not only the mechanics, but he had the dynamics. All right? I think we could take a whole week just on that, showing the difference between just being fundamental and identified or identical to the characteristics of God. Because that's the difference between the Bible saying the Word killeth, the fundamental killeth, but the Spirit upon that Word bringeth it to life. Brother Brown continues, there was a pillar of fire, supernatural light hanging over them, and there was great healings in their camp, supernatural God showing supernatural signs, and they were staying exactly with the word of promise that God gave Abraham back in the time that both nations started. But now Moses had Abraham's promise, going to the promised land, Balaam also a prophet of the Lord, standing down there, and the only way that you could identify, not from your fundamental teaching, but by the characteristics of God. Because what? They both had the same seven rams, seven altars, seven this and that. Fundamentally, doctrinally, they were the same. But one had the life of the doctrine, the other did not. One had the pillar of fire, the life of God, upon that word, the other did not. In other words, the fundamentals speak of the mechanics, having the right doctrine, and the mechanics of worship, having that right. But to the fundamental, but to be fundamental is the word that killeth, but to be identified is the Spirit that giveth life to the word. Now, Brother Branham said, and the only way that you could identify, not from their fundamental teaching, but by the characteristics of God. So it goes way beyond the fundamental teaching, which is the doctrine. It goes to the life of the teaching, the life of the doctrine. Because if you have the life of the doctrine, it will manifest the very nature of God. Therefore, it will move from just manifesting into full-fledged identification. But if you have just the mechanics, or fundamentals, or the doctrine right, it is still death to you because there is no life in it. Because it is just doctrine, and without the life of the doctrine, it's just more to argue over. Brother Bram continues, there was the sound of the shout of the voice of the king down there in Israel. The atonement was in effect, a brass serpent and a smitten rock, and God was with them, identifying himself in a supernatural light, and hanging there and healing their sickness and diseases as they went on. The characteristics. There was a sound of the shout of the voice of the king down here in Israel. Okay. All right. The characteristics prove what he was, staying in a line of the word for that age, for the age that they were living in. God's characteristics identified himself with Moses. See, the characteristics of God identified with Moses, what? Same nature, same life, same supernatural presence. The pillar of fire, the atonement in action, the supernatural smitten rock, and also the brass serpent, healing, speaking of healing, and then again they were in line of the duty of the promise of God. All right. Now, again, from Christ is identified the same. He says, now God then, identifying himself in all ages, how? How did he identify himself now? What characteristics did he use? His same characteristics from the beginning, manifesting his word. And here it's fundamentals. Manifested, it's the dynamics. All right. It's the spirit upon the word. It's the life.
The word here is death. The word revealed, unveiled, manifested is life. All right.
His same characteristic from the beginning, manifesting his word, making his word to live, that's the identification. The promised word of that age. See, now Moses, now when Moses come, he couldn't say, now, we're going to build an ark and float out of here. That was Noah's message. That's the trouble. When Jesus came on the scene, he found those Hebrews living in the glare of another light. And that's what it is today. That's what it is in every age. They live in the glare of another light. That's the reason that you Methodists, when you come on the scene, Luther was, he was living in the glare of another, of a Lutheran age. They couldn't accept John Wesley. When Pentecost would come on, the Methodists couldn't accept Pentecost because it was living in the glare of the Methodists. And I wonder what kind of a glare the Pentecostals are living in. See? What you want to do is search the scripture and find out the hour that we're living in. And then what's supposed to be here at that time and see if God makes that live and manifest it. Then that's the thing we got the right. Then that's the thing that we got the right interpretation to the age. What's he saying? All right. Well, if you're living in the 50s and 60s, and you look at the scriptures, and you say, oh, there's Malachi 4. Oh, there's Revelation 10. Oh, 7. Oh, there's Luke 17, 30. And you would have saw from here a manifestation out here. But that's gone. 50, 60 years ago. What is the word for this hour? Ephesians 1 to 5. Romans 8. Galatians 4 about the adoption. There's got to be a change. There's got to be a manifesting of sons. There's got to be conforming to the image of the firstborn son. There's got to be. So what else does the scripture show for this hour? Ephesians 1 and 5. Having predestinated us under the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. This hasn't happened yet, but it will be because God says so. Ephesians 4:13. Can we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect or mature man, telios, fully ready for adoption, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. This hasn't happened yet, but it will, because God said so. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, and grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. This hasn't happened yet, but it will, because God said so. Romans 8:15-23, for you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. Well, I'll tell you what. You have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. And yet with all the fear out there, it proves they have not received the spirit of God. Mm-hmm. All right? But you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Has this happened yet? If so, God identifies it by bringing it to pass. The spirit, God's own spirit, itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. If it hasn't happened to you, no, one thing, it has happened to others. And if children, then heirs of God, and joint heirs of Christ, it shall be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Notice that glorified together. Is this happening? If so, God identifies it by bringing it to pass. You see it here? You see it here. For I reckon that the suffering of the present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory, the doxa, the opinions, values, and judgment, which shall be revealed in us. Is this happening? If so, God identifies it by bringing it to pass. For the earnest expectation of the creature waited for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of whom he hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruit of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. Is this happening? If so, God identifies it by bringing it to pass. Romans 8:29-30. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. Whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also, past tense, glorified. And doxa zoe, and doxa, and doxa zoe, and doxa zoe, in the doxa, is your zoe, your life. The word of God, the values, the opinions, judgments in your Zoe, in your life. Is this happening? If so, God identifies it by bringing it to pass. Galatians 4:1-7. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is child, differeth nothing but from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Now, is this happening to you? If so, God will identify it by his own characteristics. From contending for the faith, brother, as Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom. You cannot understand it. It's a mystic, mythical thing until you're born again. There, the very life of God comes in you. Everlasting, eternal life, Zoe. God's own life comes in you, and then you're a part of God. You're a son of God or a daughter of God, and then you see as God sees. You believe as God believes. Then you'll be a new creature in Christ Jesus. Now, the Apostle Paul told us the same thing in 1 Corinthians 2:10. But God hath revealed it unto them by his Spirit. Therefore, it takes having God's Spirit to have the things of God revealed to you. He said, for the Spirit, which is God's Spirit, searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. And the Apostle Paul tells you in the very next verse, for what man knoweth the things of man, except the spirit of man be in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God knows. So unless you're born again, there's no way for you to understand the things of God. You will hear them, and you may even repeat them, but you will not be able to echo them or reflect them in your life, because you really don't understand them. But the natural man, he receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, and they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Mm-hmm. Therefore, it is impossible for the natural man to know the things of God. And William Branham taught us that to see means to understand. From it shall be even as it was told to me. He said, no matter what it looks like, we don't look at what we see. We look at what we do not see. Is that right? Anyhow, see, to see doesn't mean to look at. The word see means to understand. Jesus said, except a man be born of water and spirit, he cannot see the kingdom of God. In other words, he cannot understand the kingdom of God until he's born again. See, you have to accept it by faith, and then when it comes into you, then you understand it. And so we see this life that is in the Word must express itself, the word that the person has is not an echo off of the original, but rather just a mimicking and a repeating the word. And therefore, it is not the word, but the life of the word that God is looking for you. How many times have you seen a young child who thinks he's talking intelligently and saying something that is understandable to the adult? You know, Brother Justin told me of a time when he was a little kid, he was just rattling off a whole bunch of words that were nonsensical to others, but it made a lot of sense to him. The same thing. You hear a child singing your songs, and they just sing words that sound like. You know, like I remember when my girls, when they were little, they were singing "Coming Home." You know, "Swing Low, Sweet Chariot," coming forth to carry me home. And I think it was Sarah. She was singing "Swing Low, Sweet." Cherry Oven, yeah. "Swing Low, Sweet Cherry Oven, coming home, coming forth to carry me home." So, you know, it made sense to them. But it wasn't the right words. Just like many people repeat what made sense to them, and they repeat Scripture, but there's no life in it. Because it's not God's life upon that word, because the Holy Ghost isn't there. And so we see this life that is in the Word must express itself, or the Word, the person, what they have is not an echo off the original, but rather it's just a mimicking and repeating of the Word. And therefore, it's not the Word, but the life of the Word that God is looking for in you. It's not that. It's simply Word. It's death. All right? Paul said the Word killeth, but the Spirit maketh alive. In other words, the written Word, unless understood by the revelation or the manifestation, is dead. But once it is revealed, once it has been manifested, once God interprets His Word by bringing it to pass, that's the manifestation. So once it's been revealed, it now has become manifested Word, which now is a reality. I believe what is happening to the bride universally around the world. She's coming to the place that what is in here and what she is living and breathing in her own life is one and the same. She is seeing the identified Word of all ages in her own life. She's seeing the interpretation of this in her life. All right. 1 John 1:1. That which was from the beginning, which we've heard, which we've seen with our own eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled, the Word of life. Notice that John calls it the Word of life because he goes on to say in verse 2, for the life was what? Manifested. How was it manifested? In the body of God's only begotten Son. That's how. And we've seen it. Yep. Yes. We bear witness. Yep. And we show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. Notice the Word, the invisible, was made visible to us. And now we have beheld it in such a way, and it has become so identified that same invisible life is now manifesting through us to you. And that's how you're seeing it. That's what he's saying. How is it manifested unto us? He tells us through his Son. How will it be manifested unto you? Through sons. So I see the Word is life. It is God's life. And since it is a seed that the sower went forth sowing, and every seed must bring forth after its own kind, its own nature, then when the Word of God life manifests itself, it manifests the God life that is in it. And will manifest the very nature of God because it is God life seed. Notice he called it the Word of life. But I want you to contrast that to what Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6, who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. So Paul said they were made able ministers of the Spirit. Now notice, not the letter, but the Spirit. And that is what John says. John is saying as well, verse 2, for the life was manifested, and we've seen it, and we also bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. And how were we able to get you to see it? Because not only was manifested to us, it's now manifesting through us. So we see John 5:26, that the life begins in God, the Father, and was passed down to Son, then sons. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given the Son to have life in himself. And it is this life that comes from one to another through the ministration of the Spirit of God. Now, back to Brother Bram's sermon, The Unveiling of God, we'll pick up at paragraph 148. He says, the Word manifested or revealed in that revelation in there, then what does that put me? What does that put me? If he is the Shekinah glory, then I'm part of it. Amen. Oh, amen. That's right. The Word itself revealed reveals itself. Think. the mission of God made known to us in this day by the same heavenly messenger that was made known to them in them days. Notice the same pillar of fire that sent Moses, the same pillar of fire that was on Moses that wrote the Bible, the same pillar of fire that met Paul on his road down to Damascus, and Paul wrote the New Testament. Remember, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, they only wrote what they seen, but Paul had the revelation. Remember, what's the revelation? Manifestation of divine truth. He pulled it up, for he had met the pillar of fire himself and thinks the same. There, Joseph, all of them wrote what went on. Everyone wrote back in that day. But when Moses came on the scene, he had the revelation. And never forget that the word revelation is defined as manifestation of divine truth. So Moses had the manifestation of divine truth. So the others wrote of it, but Moses had the manifestation of the word. He had met the pillar of fire, and it was revealed to Moses how Genesis, and he had wrote the first four books of the Bible, Moses did, is that right? For he met God in the form of the pillar of fire, veiled in the pillar of fire. When Moses met, when Paul met him on the road, the disciples just wrote what they seen him do, but Moses had the revelation. I think he really means Paul here, because you'll see what he says here. Paul had the manifestation of the divine truth. Went down into Egypt for 3 years and studied, and seen that God, the God of the Old Testament, was Jesus of the New, the revelation, the manifestation, see, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision, that's right. And think of it, the same pillar of fire that came upon those men that wrote the Bible is the same pillar of fire here today interpreting the Bible. Well, how does God interpret the Bible? By bringing it to pass. Amen. I'd like to add, how did God interpret the Word? By bringing it to pass, by manifesting it. How we thank you for that, saint. What a comfort. What identification. I'm so glad to be identified in that. I don't know how what to do. I'd rather be identified in that than all the Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, Lutheran, and all the rest of them. Identified in that word where that Shekinah glory in Revelation lives. Don't forget, we have already shown you that to be identified means to become the same. In other words, it is not enough to read about it, but to become the Word manifested. That is another thing altogether. As I mentioned last week, it was not enough for Jesus to believe God's purpose and plan. He had to step into that purpose and plan and become identified with it and by it. He had to become the Lamb of God that was slain before the foundation of the world. Not to say, well, for this purpose have I come, but actually to do it. That's why when God asked him, are you going to go through with it, son? He said, yep. So I really, in my mind, you know, I really don't want to do it, but nevertheless, not my will, but that would be done. Like when Brad said, look, it wasn't what I wanted to be. I want to be a trapper. But it's the will of my Father that I am declaring to do. You see? So, what is your will and what is God's will for you? Psalm 150 says, the pillar of fire appearing visibly among us, identifying that the message is right. Like he did at Mount Sinai. Remember, before the true message come forth, Moses preached and he led them out of Egypt. But there before the real commandments was laid down, the seals brought in. See, bringing it back and forth, Alpha and Omega. Come down before the people and prove that Moses was sent from him. Is that right? In a pillar of fire. That Moses said that he had been in the bush and talked to him. Oh, and in this last day is to see that same pillar of fire right amongst us, speaking the same words. Not only that, but interpreting it by making it manifest and proving that it's the truth. So the people have not one way to disbelieve, lest they will just willfully want to do it. And then, he that sins willfully, after having a knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice or sin. Now, notice he says, to see the word interpreted and proved by seeing the manifestation of it. And to go one step beyond those words, to become so identified with God's purpose and plan that you literally not only believe it and receive it, but you actually step into it in order to become it. What he prophesied to come to pass. Notice, same pillar of fire sent to Moses and to Paul that wrote the Bible, now sent to reveal it. Remember, reveal means to manifest. The grace of God, the unchanging God, fulfilling the promise of Matthew 28. Lo, I am with you always. Fulfilling St. John 14:12, the works that I do, you also. Fulfilling Luke 17:28-29. In the last days, the Son of Man will be revealed. See, Malachi 4. Behold, I send you Elijah the prophet that will restore the faith of the people back to the original word again. You see? See how this? See? Oh, my. Brother Brown, look at those scriptures he gives us right there. He's saying, I'm seeing those manifested. And we have scriptures beyond that.
That was the prophet. We had the scripture for the all in all. The rest of us. Sons. That we will grow up into him in all things. Are you seeing it in you? That we are being conformed to the image of the firstborn son. Are you seeing it in you? Before you even ask, he's answering. You're surrendering your will. Because when you're thinking one thing and the Holy Ghost comes and says, no, it's this way. And gives you scripture for it. He says, if you be any otherwise minded, he revealed. Are you seeing that happening? Okay. We are at the pinnacle. We are at the pinnacle. That there's just one thing left for us. And that's the resurrection.
Amen.
The ministry, when the shout will move into the voice. That's power his and prayer. Gracious Father, we're longing, Lord, for that day. We ask you, Father, to help us, Lord, to be there. Help us to, as you said, the bride has made herself ready. And then we can only make ourselves ready by dying to who we are and recognizing who you are living in us. For we are dead and our life is hid with Christ in God. As Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I'm living, yet it's not me that's living, but it's Christ that's living in me. And the life that I'm now living in this flesh, I'm living by the revelation, by the faith, by the same revelation the Son of God did. And that is, I am not my own self. I am yours. As the bride says to the husband, I am yours. My beloved is mine, and I am his. His banner over me is love. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we're thankful. Oh God, we're just so thankful that we are coming to a full recognition of who we are. And your prophet said when that day comes, when the bride knows who she is, she's going to go. And Father, we're here. Now, be it unto us according to your word, as Mary has said to you, may the same thing be fulfilled in us. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us sing, the Lord bless thee and keep thee. No, let's just sing that song, I Know Whom I Have Believed.
I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to save I have committed.